surprised it's the other way around.
Good morning, and the Lord be with all of you. Blessed Palm Sunday to you. We're going to begin with a Palm Sunday sort of a hymn, number 442, All Glory, Laud, and Honor, number 442. Our liturgy today is on page 151, setting one, page 151. We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed.
By what we have done,
and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve an eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The introit for Palm Sunday is based on Psalm 24. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift him up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
In the Old Testament lesson for today, recorded in Isaiah 50, we hear the suffering servant, the Son of God, speaking. Isaiah chapter 50, beginning at verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with the word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle lesson is also our sermon text today. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise for the Holy Gospel.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and abounding in steadfast love.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Today we speak the Apostles' Creed, the creed into which we have been baptized, and the creed that unites us in the Holy Christian Church. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our next song is Hosanna, Loud Hosanna, number 443, number 443.
Thank you. praises, the simplest and the best. From Olivet they followed, mid an exalted crowd, the victor palm branch waving and chanting clear and loud. The Lord of earth and heaven rode on in lowly state. Scorn that little children should on his bidding wait. Hosanna in the highest, that ancient song we sing. For Christ is our Redeemer, the Lord of heaven, our King. Oh, may we ever praise him with heart and life and voice, and in his blissful presence eternally rejoice.
Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is in Philippians chapter 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Well, those of you in Facebook land, I hope you're comfortable. I hope you have your cup of coffee poured and your dog is sitting right there next to you on the couch. And I understand that you can turn me off at any time, so I wish I could see you out there, but no, I don't. Today, we focus on the sermon theme, Why Such Humiliation? Some of you may remember a CBS television show named Undercover Boss, which aired 10 or so years ago. Each episode featured a CEO or a highly placed executive in that company humbling himself by changing his or her appearance, assuming an alias, and a fictional life story. The CEO would spend approximately 1 week undercover working in a variety of entry-level jobs. Why such a humbling? The mindset in that case was for the CEO to do two things. Number one, to discover and correct the faults of that company. And number two, to reward workers who were doing well. In these days, millions of us are humbling ourselves by giving up our constitutional rights. We are giving up the freedom to assemble, the freedom to go to work and earn a living, some of us, the freedom to worship, and the list goes on. Why such humiliation? Why such a giving up of our rights? Well, the obvious mindset these days is to slow down the spread of a nasty virus. Specifically, our mindset is to make sure that our hospitals and especially our intensive care units are not overwhelmed. Or to say, as some are saying it, in five words or less, stay home and save lives. On a far grander scale, over 2,000 years ago, the very Son of God humiliated himself. Lutheran scholars call this the state of humiliation, a very specific period of time, beginning with conception, ending with burial. The very creator of heaven and earth stepped out of eternity to live on earth in real time. We call this the mystery of incarnation. Christ lived in our midst as a fertilized egg. Didn't think I was going to say that, did you? Then he was humiliated to be living as an embryo, growing into a fetus. This is the one who is the very author of life, and yet he would be living as an infant, needing to have his soiled diapers changed. This is the one who is going to be telling the lame to get up and walk, and yet here he is, a toddler, learning how to walk, growing into that neighborhood boy, and then a teenager, being told what to do by mom and dad. And then he was a young man, taking on the nature of a servant, learning obedience through suffering, obedient even to death by crucifixion on a cross. Why such humiliation? Well, you know that answer. His mindset was to do the will of his Father. His mindset was to take our place under the law. His mindset was to get to a little hill outside of Jerusalem and in the week of Passover to offer up a once and for all sacrifice. You know this, so that our sins could be forgiven and our sorry souls could be saved. The Lenten sermon, the Lenten Sunday sermon series has as its title, Questions of Lent. Last Sunday we asked the question, can dead bones be brought back to life? And with the prophet Ezekiel, we saw a vision of a valley of dry bones coming back to life. God breathing into them and they were alive. Then we saw with Mary and Martha all kinds of prominent citizens of Bethany and Jerusalem. We saw the soon-to-be-crucified Jesus commanding a dead and stinking Lazarus to come on out of his grave, which is exactly what he did in full view of Pharisees and Sadducees. Sadducees were the ones, you may remember, who rejected the very possibility of resurrection. On this Palm Sunday, our sanctuaries and our city streets are mostly empty. I drove into Waseca this morning and it was like this was a ghost town. Drove into an empty parking lot, looking at an almost empty sanctuary. And yet on that first Palm Sunday, the crowds were doing the opposite of social distancing. The crowd was a mixture of those who had witnessed the resurrection of Lazarus and those who were coming out of Jerusalem to check out to see if it really was true that a dead man was now alive. It was a mixture of pilgrims who were believing and crying out for their Messiah to save souls, and religious leaders who wanted not only for Jesus, but also for Lazarus to be dead. It was a mixture of folks with hearts open to what God might be doing and folks with hearts that were hardened against any change in the status quo. Today's question, why such humiliation? Or to ask it another way, what was the mindset of Christ as he decided not to count equality with God something to be held on to? There's a lot of ways we could answer the question, but today we're going to answer it in the context of Paul's letter to the Philippians. You may be surprised to learn that the background of this letter was that two ladies were having an argument. Two ladies named Eudia and Syntyche were quarreling. And their quarreling was threatening to destroy the unity of the entire congregation. Now, we don't know whether their spat was about something petty or something major, but we can be sure that there was a fair amount of pride and stubbornness at the heart of the division. So I invite you to study this Palm Sunday text today in the context of congregational life. In our text for today, Paul declares that wherever there is division, the pathway out of it, the pathway towards peace, is for those who are divided to humble themselves. It is to do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility, listen carefully now, count others as more significant than yourselves. It is to look not only to our own interests, but to the interests of others. To have the mindset of Christ. Three truths we would learn today about the mindset of Christ. Truth number one is to make a decision of renunciation. Truth number two is to live a lifestyle of humility. Truth number three is to look forward to exaltation. Truth number one about having the mindset of Christ is to make a decision to renounce the opposition. It's hard for Lutherans to hear the word renounce without thinking of the baptismal liturgy, where godparents and parents and congregations pledge to help these little ones to spend their lives renouncing the devil and his works and all of his ways. Or we think of the rite of confirmation, which, in my opinion, belongs on Palm Sunday. But that's just my opinion. The rite of confirmation for almost 39 years now, it's mostly been on the day of Palm Sunday. But in the rite of confirmation, these freshly scrubbed and white-robed 14-year-olds pledge to be diligent in the use of the means of grace and to spend the rest of their lives renouncing the devil and all of his nasty works and devious ways. We can be sure that before the foundation of the world was laid, the Son of God made a decision to renounce the forces of darkness. The Son of God made a decision that when the fullness of time would arrive, he would be conceived by the Holy Spirit, he would be born of a woman, he would live under the law, he would suffer under Pontius Pilate, he would be crucified, he would be dead, he would be buried. A long, long time ago, he had made the decision to not hold on to his equality with God. He in whom the fullness of deity dwelled would empty himself. He would give up the right to enjoy his rights. Notice I didn't say that he gave up his rights. He gave up the right to enjoy his rights. For a time, he did not fully use or exercise divine power and knowledge. He didn't give up his deity. He emptied himself of the full expression of that deity. He poured himself out, Paul writes, like taking a bucket and pouring out its contents so there was nothing left inside. He poured out every right he had to enjoy life as God. The kingdom of God is like a married man who pursues peace with his wife by renouncing his desire to be right in favor of maintaining a home life that is pleasant. It's like a wife who pursues harmony with her husband by deciding again and again to appreciate what he's doing right and praying often for patience. It's like congregations across the nation giving up their right to assemble in submission to the governing authorities. It's like hardworking citizens giving up their right to a paycheck out of concern for neighbors. It's like countless Christians in these days staying home, renouncing God-given rights like we've never renounced them before, trusting that God has a plan to bring us through, trusting that the day is coming when all nations will assemble and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. Truth number two about having the mindset of Christ is to live a life of lowly mindedness. We don't know whether these two women, Euodia and Syntyche in Philippi, figured out a way to settle their disagreement. We can only hope that they read Paul's letter and in response to what Christ had done, that they were able to back up and give their situation another look. We can only hope that they were able to look each other in the eyes, to listen to what the other person was saying, to admit what they could have done better, to forgive as they had already been forgiven. We can only hope that from that day forward, they would live in such a way that others would be attracted to their little congregation and not driven away. We do know exactly how Christ solved the disagreement between God Almighty and the forces of darkness. We know that he went like a lamb to the slaughter. We know that it wasn't first of all about his will, but the will of his Father. We know that Jesus drank every last drop of a cup overflowing with a righteous God's wrath. We know that he was able to be tempted in every way that we are without sin. We know that he was able to submit to the governing authorities in a way that would attract all nations to his cross for generations to come. We know that he was able to humble himself in a perfect way day after day before the mighty hand of God, trusting that God had a plan. The kingdom of God is like a single mom who is kind and patient with her children, even when they are testing her to the limit. It is like a group of women who spend their days sewing face masks in response to their Savior getting slapped in the face again and again for them. It's like medical professionals doing what they are assigned to do at great risk for themselves in response to Christ carrying out his assignment all the way to Calvary. It's like children being obedient to their parents in response to Jesus being obedient unto death. It's like countless Christians in these days humbling themselves in ways that they've never humbled before, trusting that God has a plan to bring us through, looking forward to that day when all the nations will be bending their knees, confessing Jesus as Lord. Truth number three. So far we've covered renunciation and humiliation. Truth number three is about having the mindset of Christ is to receive the gift from above, namely exaltation. For Jesus, exaltation meant descending down into hell and proclaiming victory over the spirits in prison. It meant being raised from the dead by his Father on the third day. For Jesus, exaltation meant appearing again and again as risen Savior to individuals, to groups of 10 or less, as well as to the crowds. As risen Savior, exaltation meant ascending into heaven on the 40th day. It meant sending out his Spirit in full measure on the 50th day. These days it means him ruling all of heaven and earth on our behalf, and it means coming again in glory along with the angels and archangels on the last day. For the congregation of Philippi, exaltation meant hearing that their sins were forgiven, their souls had been saved, their mansion in heaven was on reserve. Exaltation meant for them what it means for all of us today, that our sins have been forgiven, that our souls have been redeemed, that life in paradise will be much better than this. These days, exaltation means eating and drinking together at the Lord's Supper. It means enjoying together a foretaste of heaven. Exaltation for us these days means bending our knees, confessing with our lips that Christ is Savior and Lord, confessing that our Father in heaven is still creating and sustaining, confessing that the Spirit of God is still here, calling, gathering, enlightening, sanctifying, trusting together that God has a plan to work this all out, to work this all out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. The kingdom of God is like a person who has been keeping God at a distance. His Father in heaven has been listening, but this man hasn't been doing much praying. His Savior has been gently knocking at the door, but he has been ignoring. The Spirit has been teaching him, but he hasn't been very interested in learning. These days, however, this man is doing a bit more praying. And 6 feet away, his wife is doing a bit more listening. And not too far away, there's a group of 10 or less people on their knees repenting. And sure enough, up in heaven, the angels and the archangels are dancing and they're celebrating like they haven't danced and celebrated in quite a while. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which surpasses human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith unto life eternal. Amen. We're going to sing another one of my favorites. These are all my favorites. Crown him with many crowns. Number 525, crown him with many crowns, focused on exaltation. Shout out to our six-member choir here today. Our six-member choir, led by the increasingly famous Kelly Lenz, for doing that descant. Is that what you call that? That's great. That's just great. Let's go to our Lord in prayer today. Gracious Lord, we pray today that you would keep your scattered church in your mercy, that she may endure the assaults of the evil one and remain faithful for the sake of those numbered within your kingdom and those who have not yet heard the gospel. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, by your Holy Spirit, you have gathered us as your church and promised that wherever two or three are together in your name, there you are in our midst. Do not allow stress or disaster to distract us from the particular vocations into which you have called us to serve in the church, home, and community. Grant to us every gift and blessing needful that we may honor our calling and serve you to the best of our ability. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, today we pray for our country, that you would give our leaders at all level wisdom and understanding. Lord, in your mercy. We especially pray, O Lord, for those who are working as in our hospitals and nursing homes and care facilities, that you would give them strength and stamina. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Lord, we pray for those who are struggling to breathe, for those who are sick and dying, for all those we name in our hearts, that you would heal according to your will, that you would help all, whether we are living or dying, to know your presence and to be still and know that you are God. Lord, in your mercy, we pray today as our Father has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction of the triune God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace.
Amen.
And it's Palm Sunday. We have to sing number 549, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. 549, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. And if you're able, you should stand up for this one. You should stand up.
And crown him, Lord. man divine, and crown him Lord of all.
Mercies love can never
forget the wormwood and the gall. Go spread your trophies at his feet and crown him Lord of all. Go spread your
trophies
at his feet and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all.
Okay, let him have it.
Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us today, and we will be doing Bible study at 10:30 today. We'll be studying Philippians chapters 1 and 2, and if any of my grandchildren are still watching me, you are my favorite grandchildren. There you go. Have a great day.
'm still doing stuff for him, but I'm not getting paid for it, which is like not nice of him at all.
That's not right.
No.
Tell him ISIS.
I'll give you his number. He doesn't listen to anybody else, so.
Just tell him Lila Shaw from my
church says.
Oh dear. It's the pits, I'm sure. Watching the Facebook. I almost called you one night because I couldn't get it to work, but then I got it to work.
Good job.
So I'm working.
Good.
Yeah, thank you.
You're so welcome.
Olsen, I'm going to have to lose some weight, though. Thanks, Lila. Thanks for saying
I go home and listen to the whole thing. And my daughter.